Yeah. As her friend, actor John Glover, would say, it's Donna fucking Mills, everybody. It's Donna fucking Mills.
I mean, come
listen,
on.
You picked the wrong wine for her. She's a big red girl. And so I was, she was like, you're like, should I pour this out? I'm like, it's Donna fucking Mills. Just pour it in a goddamn potted plant and hurry up with.
It's very good.
How good do you like it?
Yeah.
All right. Larry, your handsome man's is over there, says it's very good. Do you guys have a vineyard? Is that what I'm told?
It's true. We do.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
This yeah. is just...
It's in the backyard. It's on the hill behind the house.
Yeah. Okay. Let me explain when I met you. Okay. When I met you and Larry. Our mutual friend, Marcia, has a party every year in Topanga. And there was this impossibly beautiful couple, Travis, on a golf cart coming toward me. And I was like, who are those genetically superior people that I instantly feel insecure around? Who? Mm-hmm. That's not a normal... Oh, it's Donna fucking Mills. I think I literally said that in my head. I was like, oh, of course she's not normal looking. It's Donna fucking Mills.
Well, it's like when I went to meet you guys at the car, I was like...
Oh, my God. She's our entire 70s and 80s. Here's what I love. Because I know you through Marcia is this incredibly smart, kind, political activist, cause-related environmental stuff... I don't know you as Abby, and I love that Joan Van Ark said, everyone wanted to slap Abby, but everyone loves Donna. That's true.
That was very sweet.
would you get slapped randomly at like Gelson's or?
Well, it used to be that people would be like kind of standoffish
right.
around me because they thought I was going to steal their husband or something,
right.
you know.
Well, just because you were kind of a gold digging whore on the show.
Excuse
no offense.
Me.
I'm talking about your character, Donna.
Sure.
So this is going to be the shortest podcast ever.
And then Donna Mills left. Took my incredibly expensive red wine, threw it in my face, and left.
Took the bottle.
Threw the glass in your face, took the bottle.
You're no dummy. But what, I mean, that is interesting, right? To like playing, and not just playing, but playing so well this villainous, right? That people... They don't get the concept of acting, some people, right? They're like, oh, that bitch.
Yeah. Well, they literally did think that I was Abby, which
yeah.
I can only, you know, be flattered that yeah. I was that convincing to them. But for a long time, I was like, why are people kind of like so standoffish? Why are they kind of mean to me? And I finally figured it out. And then I would have to like go the extra step,
right.
be extra nice.
Right.
To them in order to
right.
let them know that I wasn't.
People are like, okay, now I'm in a diabetic coma. Stop.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's how I knew I was dating someone way too young for me. when I told her that Carol Burnett's one of my idols, and she goes, oh, she's really mean. And I was like, oh, you only saw her as Annie, right? In Annie as the...
Miss Hannigan.
Right. It's, yes, right.
I was like, right. She had a show before that. Okay.
Carol Burnett mean? I don't think so.
That's what I was like. Oh, all right. She had a show. All right. Well, check taxi.
yes.
But can I say, and I'm sure you've heard this before, there is some phenomenon that people that play mean characters the best are generally the nicest people in Hollywood. Because I've heard this from Marcia and from other people, that you are...
Well, yeah, but you yeah. get to do all the stuff you wouldn't do.
Right, and it's more fun,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, if you were, you know, kind of a bitchy, mean person anyway, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun because you would be doing that stuff in real life.
Right.
If you don't do that kind of thing, it's really fun.
Right.
And not... I played the goody two-shoes for a long time.
Well, that's what it was interesting. You were talking about that whole, that you were so sick because you're so, have I mentioned you're startlingly beautiful?
Thank you.
Did you get the right glasses? Did you get the eclipse glasses?
Because we can't look.
You can't look directly at her. but you were always playing the victim, right? Because that's
yes.
the sort of casting, the Lifetime movie, yeah. the right?
Yeah, I was always being, you know, pushed down the stairs or... But, you know, abused or, you know, something.
You played every one of Rob Porter's ex-wives. Listen, that's not, let's not make this political.
Right, why not?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right, there was that, like, prototype, right, of the beautiful victim woman that was just always, you know.
You know, and that woman still exists. There's stories still about that woman that, you know.
Right.
But I was getting all those parts, and I didn't, you know, I was, after a while, I said, it's affecting me. I don't want to play that.
Right.
I want to play strong. I want to play intelligent and smart and all that. And then what happened, because the writers on the show were very good, they managed to make her smart and a little bitchy, maybe a lot bitchy.
Yeah.
And all that.
Bitches get shit done.
But still, she had a soft side. She had she had a woman side. She had a real side. The smartest thing they ever did was they never had Abby cry or show any kind of vulnerability in front of other people, only by herself.
Yeah.
And the audience got to see her by herself.
Right.
Maybe crying, maybe worried, maybe whatever, but only by herself.
Yeah.
And so that was, the, I thought, the smartest thing that the writers could do.
Right. Well, I mean, it's obviously so iconic. You were really, you know, called like the female J.R. Ewing. Knots Landing, of course, was a spinoff of Dallas. And you've been, you were obviously lifelong friends with Larry Hagman, right? You did a film with him.
No, I did a series.
Series. Oh, right.
I did a series.
A comedy, because you just went back to your comedy roots.
I did.
That is interesting. I didn't know that you loved comedy so much that you went back recently, right? In another, oh, what is it called?
Best Mom, right?
Yes.
Best Mom.
Yeah. But you, so you started in a sitcom with Larry Hagman.
It was
Hagman.
Called The Good Life.
Yeah.
Larry Hagman, Hermione Baddeley, David Wayne.
Oh, wow.
And it was really fun. We played a butler and a maid who we just decided we didn't want to deal with the, you know, all the bills and this and that and another thing. We'd be a butler and a maid. We'd live in a very nice house and we'd be able to work there.
Right.
But we didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So that was where the comedy came in.
Right.
And it was a lovely show, really lovely show. But it was on opposite the first successful season of All in the Family.
Oh, those people.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No. Your buddy Rob Reiner.
Where's
messed up things for Sean and Mary's. What's going on?
Where's their body of work? So, yeah. I mean, but Larry Hagman, so... This whole story is interesting. Just before you embarked on comedy, you were in a, obviously, the 71 thriller Play Misty for Me, which featured first-time director Clint Eastwood.
Right.
And so Burt Reynolds had previously worked with you and recommended you. That's how you got the role in Play Misty for Me.
That's how I got the role.
Wow.
I'd been out here to California, and I did a show that he did called Dan August. Because part of my contract on the soap opera back in New York that I did, Love Is Many Splendid Thing, said that they had to give me nighttime guest shots.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I went back to New York, and I gave notice on the soap anyway because I didn't want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then I got a call, you got this movie with Clint Eastwood. And I went, really?
What?
How did I do that? I didn't meet him. He'd run into Bert in a bar one night. He said, I can't find a girl that I really like for this movie that I'm doing. And Bert said, I just worked with this girl from New York. Maybe you'd like her. Showed him the dailies.
Wow.
And he hired me right from that.
Wow. And what an iconic film. I mean, can I just ask you something? Because I assume you're obviously very smart, like sort of for leftist causes. What happened from Clint Eastwood, amazing actor and director, to this crazy old right-wing crank talking to a chair at the Republican convention? What happened, Donna?
I don't know. I mean, I was as shocked as anybody when that happened and I haven't seen him for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So I really and truly don't know. I think he's always been kind of conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy he was, but, or he is.
There's conservative, and then there's talking to the chair about the black guy. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Conservative.
I don't know. I don't know where that came from, and I was not happy to see that.
Yeah. You know, we've had my friend Francis Fisher on the Happy Hour. I think we may change this just for publicity, Travis, to talking shit about Clint Eastwood.
Hey, it works.
Podcast.
Francis is a friend of mine, too. I love Francis.
She's fantastic. By the way, I was going to say, so Marcia's gotten a ton of friends. We've had Daphne Zuniga, Morgan Fairchild, Alexandra Paul. what is it about? There is a lot of really beautiful actresses like you that people may not know are really smart, committed political activists, like for years and years.
Yeah. Well, I remember I had a whole article in, remember, TV Guide?
Yeah.
In TV Guide back then that I was like a surrogate for Gary Hart. And then I campaigned for him, and I went all over the place for him and everything. That's why when that whole thing came down with him and Donna Rice and all that, the paparazzi was parked outside my gate for a week.
Wow.
Thinking, wouldn't it be fun if there were two Donnas in his life?
Oh, God.
There weren't, but, you know. But I did think he was great, and I campaigned for him.
Yeah.
I campaigned, you know, for a lot of
candidates. Well, thank God there's more upstanding people in office now, like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We're thinking of also changing the name of this podcast to Drunk Trump History, because getting through this shit show is really, I mean, I'm going to have to start my own vineyard, Travis, in the backyard there.
Yeah.
Maybe two can give me some tips.
That's another project I can't handle right now, Steph.
Kind of, I mean, you know, you kind of need that to be able to wake up these days and not feel totally depressed by what's going on.
Yeah.
I saw how he's dismantling the government.
Yeah.
Not just
everything.
You know,
everything.
Things that we liberals fought for and wanted,
right.
But everything.
Right. Right.
It's
shocking. Literally everything.
Yeah.
I saw you interviewed about the whole, you know, Me Too, Time's Up movement, because obviously, wow. I mean, I have to say, I think there is a blue wave coming in 2018, and it is female. And you were saying, you know, as a pretty actress back in whenever, you're like, this is just kind of the thing, that you go to an audition and it's a guy's apartment. He's naked, you know. So,
yeah,
right.
I mean, the most bizarre things would happen, but you never even thought to, like, call the police or do anything like
right.
that.
Or it was always the publicity, yeah.
Well,
like, oh, die again, yeah.
You know, don't go there again. That's all it was.
It feels like some men literally got into the business so they could fuck pretty actresses that would never fuck them in real life.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is, and they are so pathetic.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I wonder if they really know how pathetic they look in our eyes.
But you said something so startling in a way when you think of where we've come now, is you sort of said, you just felt like if you got out of there, which you mostly did, you just scrammed, you know, when I was listening to you being interviewed, you're like, that was fine. Like, you're like, oh, I got out of here, and it didn't like...
Yeah, if you got out, which I always did, had I had the experience where somebody actually
right.
got me or raped me or something like that, that would have been a different thing, but... I always felt like, you know, I escaped, so I was okay.
Yeah.
And
so literally you playing victims was literally pretty much your...
It's what I've
getting
seen
the
a lot
of. Getting the job was pretty much that.
Yeah.
You fleeing from some psychopath. Yeah. I love this whole... I'm just reading so many things. When you when Knots Landing came along, you were viewed as Miss Goody Two-Shoes. I love this because it's sort of like the Black Swan... narrative, isn't it? You were like, you could not convince them that you could play the Black Swan because you were the victim, Miss Goody Two Shoes.
Right.
So how did that, what happened?
I insist, I was in my agent's office and I saw the breakdown on his desk on this part.
Yeah.
And I said, I want that part.
Yeah.
And he said, well, Michael Fileman knows you, and he was one of the producers.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we called him up. They said, we know Donna. We love Donna. She doesn't have to come in and read. I said, if I don't go in and read, I will not get the role.
Yeah.
They will not give me the role. And so I kept bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. I said, I want to go in and read. Finally, they gave in. They said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And David Jacobs told a story the other day at the luncheon that they gave me that Pioneers of Broadcasting Award. And he said that he had seen me in, I guess it was Play Misty for me.
Okay, yeah.
And really...
Where you played Clint Eastwood's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really liked me then.
Yeah.
So when I came in to read, he was very excited about meeting
you. Yeah.
Which I didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But even so, he didn't think I was right for that role.
Yeah. You're like, I can, and you can, we're a dancer, so you're like, I can dance the Black Swan, even though I'm White Swan.
Yes. Yeah. No, I guess, because an hour after the audition, they called me and told me I got it.
Wow. Wow. What does that feel like?
It feels really good. Really good.
But I mean, this is my whole 80s. You played it from 80 to 89.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Food is here for Donna fucking Mills, everybody. Hurry. Let's,
oh,
listen.
Good.
She's used to her trailer and Knott's Landing being fully stocked. Let's... So, all right. But, yeah. I mean, it must be... I think for people, you know, just listening that can't imagine what your life is like, I also think... It's interesting, people, because they just think, oh, it's this pretty fluffy. Your normal day, I was reading on Knott's Landing, was 14 hours, sometimes 16. On a Friday, it would be 18 hours a day.
Right. Yep. Most people don't think working more than 8 hours is
right.
feasible. That they just don't have to do it. They never have to do it. People
right.
in the film business, we work 12, 14, 16-hour days all the time. All the time.
Right.
And... You know, there is a lot of great stuff that comes from that and great adulation and all that.
Sure, of course.
But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I remember times...
It's not coal mine hard, but it's...
No, but driving home and really literally struggling to stay awake
yeah.
because I was so tired because I'd been
yeah.
there for so long.
Yeah. But you actually... I was joking about being... But she was a dancer, damn it, yeah. Travis.
A dancer, you say.
A dancer, damn it. But you always said you have a lot, you've always had a lot of energy and discipline having been a dancer. So
yeah.
when did you start and how? Tell me about it.
I started dancing when I was 3.
Wow.
I mean, I took dance lessons and I danced in a place where the woman created a small little company and we went and played
right.
clubs in like Alabama and stuff like that. Don't
when you were 3?
About that.
Oh, dear. Okay, that sounds a little shady. But okay.
It was a little shady. But the discipline that you had to have as a dancer.
Yeah, you have to get right up on the microphone because we want every sultry.
Oh, yes.
Sultry.
Okay.
Same okay. nighttime soap opera.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
But you just mentioned you're from Alabama, right?
No, Chicago.
No. She's from Chicago. I thought you were going to say Alabama.
Listen, I did. I danced in Alabama.
That's what yeah. it was. Okay.
When she was 3.
3.
Okay, because that's not too shady. Okay.
But Alabama's on our side.
It
now.
Was in the Judge Moore dance
Stephanie
team.
Close. Okay. Stephanie, close.
Stephanie
Judge
Louise
Moore
Smith.
had a dance team.
I was trying to get to George Moore, but you just went in a really dark place, Stephanie.
Yes, I did. And she went right with me.
Yes, I did.
Because she's an actress, damn it, and a dancer. But born and raised in Chicago, Illinois,
yep.
Your dad was an oil executive, your mom was a dance instructor. So that's where, right, that
yeah.
came from.
Yeah. I mean, they put me in dance class. I wanted dance class. I mean, I loved
yeah.
it. I loved dance. I still do.
Yeah.
But that's all I wanted to be.
That's so
when
weird.
All growing up, high school, everything, that's all I wanted to do.
We just had this conversation with Leslie and Warren
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, and I fucking hated dance. They made me do it, too, at 5, and I fucking hated it.
You want to play softball?
Leslie and Warren loved it, too. I'm like, I don't know.
Why did you hate it?
I just hated it. And my mom remembers the story that in ballet class at 5, I kept going to the teacher and going, when are we going to dance? Because I didn't really get it. I didn't really get the whole, like, bling, bling, and this. I'm like, when are we dancing? I'm too ADD for dance.
Too much
focus, Donna.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So you studied ballet throughout your teens.
Yep.
Studied drama at University of Illinois, made your way to New York, where you were an understudy in Woody Allen's play, Don't Drink the Water.
Yeah.
Now, do you have, obviously, because you've been interviewed about the Me Too movement, do you have an opinion on all this? Because, you know, Amira Sorvino, who I just met, came out and wrote a piece to Dylan Farrow and said, I'm sorry, I believe you now. Do
yeah.
you, I mean, I know that's like a long time ago and you maybe don't know him, but.
Because I was the understudy.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of time with him.
Right.
I mean, I saw him all the time and knew him and stuff like that, but I didn't have a lot of time with him, so I have no... He didn't
opinion,
try
yeah,
anything
yeah.
with me.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know. No.
By four, he probably aged out for Judge Moore, so who knows?
Right.
What? What?
Stephanie.
With Woody? I don't know. Okay, listen. But you've been, because I know this from Marcia, my friend, but you've been various political and human rights causes, including Easter Sales, Women in Film, Earth, and a big environmentalist, Earth Communications Office. Yep. Where did you come by your activism and political, because people, you know, may not associate that with you.
No, I know, but I've been doing it ever since. You know what it started with? It started with, I think I was still living in Chicago, anti-nuclear.
Mm.
Someone explained to me exactly what happened when a nuclear bomb fell and you know, all that. And I went, well, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
I can't have that.
Yeah.
And I started doing anything that I could do to make that stop.
You must get very good night's sleeps with Donald Trump bragging about the size of his nuclear button every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's so frightening to think that he is that close to the nuclear. I don't think he understands.
No.
Nuclear.
I don't think he
understands what happens if a nuclear bomb falls.
Oh, no, he has no fucking idea about anything.
And he doesn't
Could you
care.
Believe that tweet? I mean, of all of them, I know, but just the...
Wait, which
my
one?
Button's a lot bigger than Kim Jong-un's and mine works. I'm like, how small is your dick? Seriously.
Yes, it must be really
small.
Oh, my small.
God. Like, yeah. The Hubble telescope must not be able to see it.
Stephanie.
Don't you think? He's just so ridiculous. And remember that whole, I love the power of nuclear. Nuclear, yeah. It's so important to me. Like,
well,
he has no fucking idea what he's talking. He's like, he didn't know what the nuclear triad was. He doesn't know any fucking thing.
No, when he said in the very beginning, I think during the campaign, he said, well, we have nuclear weapons. Why shouldn't we use them?
I know.
It's milk that's going to expire. I'm like, oh, God.
It's shocking. Every day, still, I wake up and am appalled.
And think, the antithesis of everything I've worked for my entire life is now sitting in the Oval Office.
Exactly.
On its gelatinous orange ass.
Yes.
Okay, that part was mine.
That was good, though.
Thank you. So, all right, wait. Let's talk about you. This is another, I just found astounding things to you. Obviously, you've never been married.
No.
Larry's stunningly beautiful like you are, but you guys, I did not know. Not married. You adopted a daughter, Chloe, in 1995.
Right. 94, actually.
Oh, 94. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's how old now?
23.
Oh, my God. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I know I'm sure you've heard this question a million times. Why never married? I'm because of my disgusting personality, and no one wants to be married to me. That's my excuse. What? What?
You stick with that.
I just always felt I didn't feel the need for it. Do you know what I mean? I've had long relationships.
Right.
But I never felt the need to be married. I mean, if a relationship was going to last, it was going to last because of the feelings between the people, the commitment between the people, not because of a piece of paper that said you're married. And so I just never...
How long you and Larry?
Larry and I have been together... almost 18 years.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about him, even though he's, like, right behind you.
I know. He's right behind me.
Oh, my God, because he's so cute. I know you used to be a gamma something in college, but let's talk about Larry. Oh, my God, he's so handsome. He has a full head of hair. Okay, let's move on.
Enough about men for you, Stephanie.
We don't want to talk about Larry?
Yes, we do. But wait, you also, Richard Holland, you were in a long-term relationship with.
Yeah.
So, and what does your daughter do? And what, I mean, that's...
She's in New York. She lives in New York. She's a model.
Oh.
She's been modeling.
How startling. How completely shocking.
Yeah.
They're not genetically related, but she's still a model.
Yeah. Well, just look at it. If you spend time, I'm probably prettier right now just from the 25 minutes I've spent.
By tomorrow's show, you're going to be beautiful.
It's like a contact high.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll take the picture of you two at the end of the after party.
Okay, I'm going to ask a totally shallow question. What is it like to be that pretty all your life?
Stop.
No, because you're so smart and active and whatever, was that a struggle? Going, take me seriously, goddammit, just because my hair is perfect and I...
You know, I mean...
Just comes with a territory.
You know what? Being pretty or attractive or whatever doesn't hurt. Okay,
yeah.
It's okay, but it doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't guarantee. There are a lot of pretty girls.
Yeah.
It doesn't guarantee you're going to get the job.
You're good at the comedic eye cross for someone that pretty, by the way. That's the second time she's done the comedic eye cross.
I do that all the time. My mother used to tell me they were going to stick that way. But I still
do it. That is so charming in such a pretty girl. It's like a... She did like a little Marty Feldman sort of something there. Okay. But, yeah, I don't even know where to start. Your idol when you were young was Jane Wyman, who... ironically, of course, you know, Ronald Reagan's. But just as a person and an actress, was your sort of idol?
She was.
Oh, apparently IMDb. Fuck you, IMDB. What?
I don't know.
Says your idol when you were young.
I never heard that.
All right.
Somebody on IMDb thinks that she's your idol.
Huh? Really?
All right. Well, all right. Let's fuck that. Listen, your co-star, Michelle Lee... You both had the same clause in your Knots Landing contract that you could never be a grandmother? Is that true?
No, she may have had that clause. I never had that clause. I never had that clause.
Because we were saying some actresses are shy, Travis, but can we just say for 1 second, she doesn't care, I asked her before. Donna fucking Mills is 70 fucking 7 years old. Jesus fucking Christ, look at her. No, get your face up in there, America.
What happened to you?
That's
what do you mean what happened to her?
Astounding.
She's beautiful.
No, she is. We tease.
And I'm only 83. Now listen.
You look amazing for 83, though.
Thank you so much. See? That's why I never got people lying about their age. Why not say you're older? You're like, oh my God, you look fantastic.
I mean, I look great for 97, right?
For 67. But don't you feel like that's part of this whole like wave of, you know, feminism and Me Too and Time's Up? And I was saying my friend Lily Tomlin, who's, you know, of course done the happy hour as well, but she and Jane Fonda look fucking astounding. And Jane Fonda just turned 82, right? And
yeah.
Lily's close. And
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. These days, it's not what those ages aren't what they used to be.
Yeah.
They're really not.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that it's a good 10, 20 years younger than what those ages used to be, you know, 83, yeah. 77,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
It's just not like that anymore. People, and a lot of it has to do with the mental.
Yeah.
How you think about yourself. If you don't think that you're old, you're not old.
Well, if my mirror told me what your mirror fucking tells you, I'd have good self-esteem too, Donna. Let's get real, bitch.
Is that what your mirror says every morning?
I'm like, if my mirror said, oh, you're Donna fucking Mills, I'd be in a good mood too, Travis, instead of the horrible bitch that I am.
Not a horrible bitch, right, Travis?
No. Although it's 6 a.m.
No, but people would go, okay, fine for you to say, Donna Mills. But how, because people do want to ask, I'm sure they ask you all the time, how do you take care of yourself? How do you look like that? How do you live?
Like I said.
How you living, girl?
It's, a lot of it's mental. It's how you think that you don't think about, I'm getting old, so I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You just do it. I play tennis 4 or 5 times a week.
I've heard you all about the tennis and the wine.
Yeah.
I was very excited about this.
Yeah, I work out all the time. You know, I do whatever I have ever done.
Yeah.
I haven't curtailed my activities
at
all.
But you're famously also a spokesperson for arthritis. You do deal with arthritis. How do you deal with it? I mean, being as active as you are.
One of the things a doctor said to me, he said, you ride the bike for 20 minutes? I said, yeah. He said, ride it for an hour.
Ooh.
Keep moving. Keep moving.
Harsh, doctor.
If you stop moving or cut down moving and don't move it, you just have to keep moving.
Yeah.
I also stretch a lot as a dancer. You know, you stretch a lot. Yeah. Most people don't.
My friend Trish, who you're going to meet in a little bit, is also a dancer, and she said, she's tried to stretch me once, and she's like, you have the flexibility of an 80-year-old man. Because I know I'm very active, but I'm bad at stretching. Because you're right, I don't have, because as we discussed, I fucking hated dancing, and my mother was trying to torture me.
You know what happens as you get older? The reason people are stooped and shuffle and all that is because their muscles are atrophying. They're going like this. They're getting caught up. So if you keep stretching, you're going to keep that vibrancy about you always.
Yeah.
So it's very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you eat? What do you... You drink wine, which is a girl after my own heart. Listen, Travis, there have been a lot of studies. Red wine, good for your heart, good for your circulation.
Absolutely.
Why are you drinking
white wine? Good for cholesterol. In moderation.
She made that up, didn't she, Travis?
Listen, is there such a thing as in moderation in Donald Trump's America?
Is there moderation in your basement is what I want to know.
Don't you think that will be his biggest accomplishment is the rise in day drinking?
Yeah. I do, actually. It's true. Yeah. No, I mean, I've always eaten fairly healthy.
Yeah.
You know, not crazy, but fairly healthy.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't.
But you're not a vegetarian?
No.
I found that out. Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No? I'm from Chicago.
I'm from Chicago. You like a little bit of meat, a little bit of sausage.
I like my steak.
You know? Yeah, well, me too. Me. Oh, wow. We're going to go out to a steakhouse. Yes. Wait, tell me about Chicago. What was your family life like? I know your mom a dance instructor and siblings, and what was your life like?
Yeah, I had one older brother who I still have, who I love a lot.
Yeah.
And he lives in Colorado.
Yeah.
And he's 11 years older than me.
Okay.
So, but it was a really, you know, normal kind of middle class upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing, unusual about it. Although I did find out after years afterwards, you know, the character of Sandy in Grease.
Yes.
Was based on me.
What? Oh, my God. That does not surprise me.
Travis? Yeah. Wow. I found that out years later when they did a biography of me on Lifetime, and they interviewed
a
boy that I went to high school and grade school with. He told them, and I never knew. Yeah.
So your goody two-shoes that you always played, that was you.
I guess it was, yeah.
How was she based on? Did he know the writers? How?
Yeah, the writer went to my high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is fascinating.
That is crazy.
Did you know you're the one that I want?
Pardon me?
I said you're the one that I want? Ooh. Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was just kidding. Okay. I just slipped her a little lesbian joke. All right, listen. I mean, the other thing I love is it's just because this is so my era in terms of it just didn't, you know, we didn't do Knots Landing all through the 80s. All through the 70s, you did all those, like, shows that I loved. All those, right? Like, movies.
Yep.
Let's talk about that for a minute. You did $6 Million Man. I Wanted to Marry Him.
I was obsessed with the $6 Million
I wanted to be Jamie Summers. Okay, I'm just saying. So which of those stand out to you? You did all of them. Like,
I know.
All of the big 70s
hits. I know.
Hits.
Love Boat, of those.
$6 Million Man, Hawaii Five-O, The Love Boat, Chips, Quincy, MD, Police Woman, Fantasy Island.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's what my memory is, Donna, is you were in everything I watched in the 70s. I'm
like, yeah.
Welcome to Fantasy. Oh, of course, it's Donna Mills. Okay.
Yeah. I just, you know, I kept getting job after job after job.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lucky. You know, it's funny, though. You think, oh, I got every job that I went up for. No. What I told my daughter, who, you know, is modeling, and she goes for auditions and castings and all that all the time, I told her, I said, if you get 1 out of 20.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I did. You know, it looks like I got every job I went on. I didn't.
Can we talk about how dreamy Lee Majors is? Oh, my God. Wasn't he? I really did think I was going to marry him before I knew I was the A-gay. Then I was like, oh, you're just using him to get to the Bionic Woman.
You wanted Lizzie Wagner.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Don't blame you. I don't blame you.
To the extent that I thought if I had a daughter, I would name her Jamie. Okay, weird.
All right. Okay.
All right. But which of those shows does stand out to you, or which were the most fun, or do you have specific recollections of?
God. Jeez, I don't know. I mean, there were so many. I look at on IMDb and I look at the shows that I've done and I go,
really?
Did I do that one?
Really?
I don't remember that one.
Really?
You like guest starred literally in everything that was possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you did obviously soaps because I feel like when you were born as pretty as you are, that is probably legally required that you do soaps at some point. But then you went back later to do General Hospital, won an Emmy.
Yeah.
Like I mean,
you know, the soaps were when I started out, I did Secret Storm.
Right. That's how you started.
I played a character by the name of Rocket.
Oh, yes, I saw
that. The only name she had, Rocket.
Okay. Rocket.
She was a nightclub singer.
Okay.
I was the worst singer ever, and they had me sing on the show.
Oh.
And then I did Love is a Many Splendored Thing. And they were very, while I was doing those shows, I studied acting at night. I'd go to class at night.
Right.
And it was the best possible way to learn your craft, because you could take what you learned in class and take it right to a job, a real situation.
Sure.
And that was really, really good. And then, you know, that all led, of course, to play Misty for me.
Yeah. Wow. So, wait a minute. By the way, so we just had Martin Sheen, what, 3 weeks ago?
Three weeks ago.
You're the 1 degree of separation. Your first film debut, The Incident, was with Martin Sheen, Beau Bridges.
It was.
And Ed McMahon. What?
Right. Yeah.
Hi-yo!
Yeah. Thelma Ritter.
Yeah.
A lot of people. It was a really interesting movie. It was originally done as a television show, and then they did it as a movie. And, crime on the subway and stuff like that.
Wow. Really? Is he not the nicest man in the world? Martin Sheen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lovely.
He gave us rosaries.
I don't...
Aww. He's just astounding.
Oh, God, I didn't bring anything now.
No, it's all right.
No.
No, he was...
I told you not to bring anything.
He was like, can we watch Rachel Maddow now? I was like, with President Bartlett? Yeah. Yes. Yes, we can.
Now she's my fave, Rachel.
Oh.
Talk about smart.
Right? Oh. I mean, she should just be in charge of it. I've said this. She's like the everything. She's the Walter Cronkite, the Edward R. Murrow of our time.
If I were gay, I would be in love with
her. Oh, is that her? Oh, God damn it. She wouldn't go for me, Travis.
You're too pretty.
What, too lipsticky?
You're too lipsticky.
Too lipsticky? Really?
No.
Oh, come on. It would be like It would be like a Leslie Lifetime movie. It'd be fantastic.
No. I just met you. Give me a time.
Oh, Larry, can you go? We need some more wine. Why don't you go out?
Okay, I'll be gone for
2 years. Okay. The wine store is in Barstow. See ya. Yeah, I just love all these. Biography Channel listed you as 10 primetime stars we love to hate.
Yep. I won back then, I never won an
Soap
Emmy.
Soap Opera Digest for Outstanding Villainous.
Right.
In 1986, 88, and 89.
Three times I won Outstanding Villainous.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
What? Yeah, okay. But that's what I mean. But you're like the nicest human in the world. It is really...
But you have to be really secure in yourself to be able to play that villain. Like,
yeah.
If you were, if you had a reputation of being a B in Hollywood, you wouldn't want to play that part. Because you'd be like, I think I'm that.
Yeah. It's true. But... You know, you kind of, people are a little suspect of you after playing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not anymore, but
I think you've done all kinds of guest appearances. Cold Case, in which you played a provocative woman who seduces her grandson.
Yes, provocative,
wow.
I guess.
Okay.
And then on Nip Talk, do you have Nip Talk?
Yes, Nip Talk with, fellow Knott's Landing star Joan Van Ark.
Right, but that was
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right, but that the Lip Tuck was about that woman by the name of Jocelyn Wildenstein. You know her?
Yes, Catwoman. She had so much surgery. She looked like a... Oh, yeah.
And that was what the story was about. This woman who wanted to have her face look like a cat because her husband was divorcing her, but he loved wild
Oh, geez.
So she felt if she looked more like a cat,
on a popsicle stick.
He would love her again.
Jesus.
And I mean, it's 5 hours, hours in makeup and that. And all that would still showed at the end of that makeup was the little end of my nose.
Boy. Like, oh, boy.
It was amazing. Those people were amazing that did that makeup.
Megyn Kelly got in a lot of trouble for asking Jane Fonda about her plastic surgery.
She did.
So am I allowed to ask, is this normal?
Is this normal?
I've had a shitload. I am Frankenwoman. I've had everything done.
Stephanie 2.0.
There is nothing real on me.
Okay, 4.0.
You remember we auctioned my butt fat off for charity. I had liposuction live on the air. We auctioned. There's some guy with a piece of my ass in his basement here in LA. And I also, but I had a forehead lift, a facelift, under eye chemical peel. I've had everything.
We're actually going to use that fat to clone you in case something ever happens.
Just do a hologram,
like
Tupac. Just do a hologram show.
Well, you know, whatever you've had done, it looks good.
Thank you. But wait, so am I allowed to ask? Is this normal? Have you had something, anything?
I haven't had anything for a very long time.
Wow.
Okay, when I got Knott's Landing, I was 40.
That's when I had mine. It was a little 40th birthday present, a little thing. I took a little $10,000 nap.
Yeah. Yeah. But not since then.
Wow.
That's
You know. Do we mention that Donna fucking Mills is 70 fucking 7 years old? Fuck. What the fuck, America?
You need the potion.
Now a warning? Didn't you love, what is it?
Death Becomes Her.
Oh, fantastic.
Which?
Death Becomes Her.
What's that?
With the movie, with
Goldie Hawn and
Meryl Streep.
Oh, from a while ago.
Yeah, where they want to live forever. And
oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
I love that Donna Mills is telling me, can you get some current fucking references?
Seriously, Stephanie.
Because we love our now one. Now?
They're making a Broadway musical out of it.
Exactly. So, all right. I don't know. I'm just so sort of astounded by your body of work. It was like a phone book full. I was like, I can't really cover this in 45 minutes, Travis.
It's really funny because the other day when I got the award, they said, and she did several movies for television. And I went, oh, really? I did 50.
50? Holy shit.
50 movies for television.
What were your favorites? Like, were they?
My favorites were really the ones that I produced. I produced six of them.
I know. You're a big-time producer.
Yeah.
Which ones and what?
There was one called My Name is Kate.
Oh.
Which is about an alcoholic woman.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There was one called Deadbeat Dad.
Yeah.
Which was about a guy who, you know, ran out on his wife and two kids, and she found him 17 years later and nailed him.
Wow. Now, what networks were these for? Were they
CBS, ABC, and NBC.
Oh, okay.
All three networks. Yeah. At one time, I had deals. At that time, they did deals. They did movie deals. So I had a two-picture deal with ABC and a two-picture deal with CBS at the same time.
Yeah.
So that was really good. That's basically really why I left Knott's Landing.
To produce and do other stuff.
Because I knew that I had these deals. I knew that was the time that I, you know, could use that power to get movies that I wanted made.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did.
Yeah, because at some point, all the Lifetime movies just blur together for me. Just sort of not without my daughter in your burning bed, you fucking bastard. Like, it was, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean,
the strange thing is, a lot of people think I've done a lot of Lifetime movies.
But you have.
I've not done one. Not one. But those
You're like, ABC, oh, that's Meredith Baxter. That's
those ABC, CBS, NBC movies are on Lifetime. They bought them. And they show them all the time.
Oh, I see. So then later you see them. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's also a lost art form because the movie of the week doesn't exist anymore.
No.
That was such a part of growing up.
The only place it exists basically is on the Hallmark Channel.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
That's really the only channel that does it anymore.
Yeah, you did one of the Christmas movies, right? The 12 Gifts
of
Christmas?
I did. 12 Gifts. Yeah. They changed the title so many times. 12 Gifts of Christmas, yeah.
Yes. She was born to be in a Christmas movie. Look at her. She's like the prettiest ornament on the top of the tree. It's like it's Christmas every morning when Donna Mills is here. Tell me about because I know, again, from my friend, how deep your political activism runs. What does that feel like in Trump's America? And what are you working on? What are you passionate about now? What the fuck do we do, Donna Mills? Jesus Christ. Who's going to save America?
I know.
Except for Donna fucking Mills, Travis.
God damn. I wish I had an answer. I really do. I'm as depressed about it as anybody.
Yeah.
I really am. I mean, I'm still, you know, backing candidates, you know, 2018, senatorial, House, you know, so we can take that back.
Sure.
What are you looking at? Are there any races that you're looking at right now as far as the House and the Senate that you think we really need to get a hold of?
I don't know. There are so many. There's a lot of different ones. Katie Hill and Sherrod Brown and, you know, there's a lot of different ones. And it's tough because they all come here for money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
No, I know. I get a different thing every time. Like, we're maxed out. Like, but you're right. Like, it is so important. I think we're at such a critical juncture in our. Now, having a vineyard, does it help or hurt your day drinking during the Trump administration? Like, when you have a vineyard. Travis, imagine if I had a vineyard.
The thing is, when you have a vineyard, you can't just drink the wine that you have. It has to go into the winery, to the barrel, it has to age in the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
It has to, you know, do all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'd be all about the aging.
It's not available to you every moment of the day.
Where is this? Where do you live now?
In Mandeville Canyon.
Oh, okay. Oh, here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's a fucking...
I know.
Mandeville Canyon.
It still took him an hour and a half to get here today.
Yeah.
I had a farm in Mandeville Canyon once. We're going to do some sort of Out of Africa parody where she keeps bringing me wine every week from her.
But people say, well, you grow your wine, you must be up by Santa Barbara or something. I said, no, it's here in L.A. There's no wine growing in L.A. Yeah, there is.
It's at Donna Mills' house.
We have very good climate for it right now.
Okay, this is my goal in life, to get invited to Donna Mills' house now. To go wine tasting.
You'll get it. You will definitely get it.
Please, God.
Be careful.
Please.
She'll clean you out.
Please, God.
Well, she can't, because we already have so much.
Some people call it wine tasting. I call it wine slurping. Donald Trump is fucking president. Do you understand? Like, you know when I go to an airport bar, they're like 6 or 9 ounces. I'm like, do you know who's fucking president? Right. Why do you even have fucking 6 ounces?
Right.
I apologize.
Give me a double. Give me the
apology.
Double.
Yeah. Apologize. Not your fault. Not your fault. However...
Yeah.
Donna Mills, what a thrill and an honor and a pleasure. How do we support you, follow you? Not in a stalky way. Not in a play Misty for me way. But how do we?
I'm on, not Facebook, on Instagram.
Instagram.
And Twitter.
Okay.
Although
All right.
Twitter to me doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So Instagram does.
Okay.
And I run it with my daughter.
Oh, my God.
She helps me with it, because she's much more technically...
The young ones in social media.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do anything until they do it.
It's beyond me. It really is.
Yeah, me too.
She really helps me with it a lot, and it's great. And, you know, I love being able to be in touch with her.
Yeah.
Over that.
Yeah. That's kind of fantastic that, as you mentioned, Travis, she is adopted and still a model. So just if you could, you know, if you have an opportunity to see Donna Mills in person, you will just by contact be like 100% prettier than you are now.
Well, I have a new movie out.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's called Best Mom.
Yes, but we just said that. Best Mom, sure. Fantastic.
Yeah.
On.
And it's in a film festival right now.
Okay.
Here it's in the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival.
Okay.
The film won Best Family Film, and I won Best Supporting Actress.
Oh. Wow. My God.
Oh,
my God. Or go see that.
Yeah, and the award ceremony is the 23rd, and the screening is the 24th.
Fantastic.
Of February. Yeah.
I am still just as intimidated as I was when I started this interview, Donna Mills. Or could I call you Donna fucking Mills?
You can call me anything you want to.
This is so kind of you to do this for us, and you are just we are just thrilled to meet you, and please keep on all your good work in the resistance, because we need you more than ever now.
I will. Yeah. And you know, keep in touch, and we'll
listen. Travis, how much do you think I'm going to keep in touch about the vineyard in Mandeville Canyon?
Oh yeah.
Right? Like tonight? Like, hi, did you get home safely? What time tomorrow's good?
You think it's going to be like that episode of I Love Lucy where you're stomping on
grapes. Right, yes! Oh my God, we'll do it for Instagram. We'll do a video of us stomping grapes in your
Okay, okay.
But come on.
But right now, the vineyard is like all cut back, and it's like sticks.
Listen, don't harsh my buzz. Listen, we're going to do this
soon. She doesn't understand the technicality. She just knows it gets in the bottle somehow.
No,
somehow they get a grape into that bottle, and it tastes really good.
Just okay. Something.
All right.
Need to get
Larry
to that.
Might find a bottle somewhere for you.
Hello, Larry. All right. Donna Mills, thank you so much. Yes, we need our closing music. What's happening? Oh, there we go.
There it is.
We love you, Donna fucking Mills. I'm never going to omit the fuck from the middle of your name because of John Glover.
That's right.
He made it okay.
Oh, thank you so much.
Happy fucking happy hour, Donna fucking Mills. We love you.
Thank you.